بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الدين يسر. Deen is easy. We just need to understand it, and we'll understand the beauty and the goodness of deen. And what appears to be difficult is not deen itself, it is our own thinking. Deen is easy. And Allah Ta'ala wants that we fix up the small things. Look like small thing like niyat, right? And look at the greatness, dynamics of niyat. You leave your home, coming to the masjid. So the hadith says, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. You will get all what you intended. Simple act that you left your home proceeding to the masjid, and you get all what you intended. So you thought to yourself, alright, I'll come on foot. So for every step, and I'm getting a reward. Al-Mawla Alimiyah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, one big problem that we have today is we don't reflect over the rewards and the virtues that have been promised. Whereas Allah Baqs Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking about ihtisab. Reflect over it. This is the reward. This is the sawab you're going to get. Reflect over it. For every step you're getting a sawab. Sin is getting forgiven. Now, when you hear this, then someone wants to add a Sufi story into it. No, forget all that. Just look for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now, you didn't understand the tasawwuf properly, correctly. And this is going to be a statement, but the statement has to be falling in place. You just quote it out of context and make a noise about it. Obviously, you will have bad name the tasawwuf, and you will not apply the hadith as well. So, tasawwuf and the sunnah, hadith, there's no conflict in it. The confliction is in your mind. Indeed, there's no contradiction, but try and understand it properly, take out the time, burn out that energy, use yourself, go and find out. Well, our problem is that we don't take out the time, don't sit and use our minds, don't engage someone. It's got some peace from this idea, and then we are straight, quickly we are making a decision. And then we say, no, tasawwuf is a different thing, hadith is a different thing, my shaykh told me this, and what you know. So all this is because of the confusion that we create within ourselves. Like I say, deen is an easy thing, it's not a difficult thing. See the confusion that we bring about within ourselves. Hazrat Mawla Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's proverbial for his taqwa, righteousness, his taqwa. And taqwa means abstain from things that are of a doubtful source. Stay to it. See. Once Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah was invited here, somewhere in Palo. So, Mohan Umarji was there, Dr. Salman was around, and all were pushing this question. We have so much of things carrying on, so much of dini khidmat, but why do we have so much of problems? The Ustaz's answer was, there is a solution to this, but it is difficult for you to solve. He said, no, we'll try and manage it. So it says, it's an abundance of wrong, haram or doubtful. So what's coming in is coming out. So wrong is going in and wrong is flowing over. Our greater concern is, do we have the amount? Is it a concern that what we got is right and not doubtful? And when wrong takes place, you say, but why did this happen? So, Zafar Hussain Sahab, rahmatullah, look at the righteousness. And when you look at these few stories, then you need to look at the stories complete, full. Not half, half done. So that is why the niyat has to be right. When the niyat is right, you're not here for your convenience. You're here for the lesson. And if the niyat is not right, then I'm for my convenience, for what is more convenient to me, I will do that. So Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi is returning from Delhi to his town Kandla. Right? Now as he's returning, so the old days now, you don't have cars and all that, so it's an ox wagon or something. So the price, everything has been fixed. It's going to be the fees. Alright. Now, Buzuwanadin, their style is, they talk to the person according to his level. This is his level, this is his understanding, let me talk to him at his level. Okay. So, the idea is to get everybody on course, get them to Allah Ta'ala, but understand that he has got a capacity of 20, your capacity is 200. If you are traveling at 210 Ks, his maximum capacity is 20. So he'll come according to his capacity, you must come according to your capacity. You won't force him, but you encourage him somehow or the other. His capacity is low, let's encourage him, let's move on. So they understand every person and they understand him, and they will use him, they will take him according to his capacity and strength. Okay. A small child, 6 months, 3 months of age, if you want to push biryani and chops and spices and achar into his mouth, you will kill him one day, isn't it? He doesn't have the capacity. Although the food is great, tasty, enjoyable, but he doesn't have the capacity for this great food. Whereas the Quran Sharif is talking about it. Lahman, tariyan, right? Fresh meat. Quran Sharif is talking about it. But now this poor person, he doesn't have the strength for this. So you say, alright, it's meant for you, but at a later stage. Now you let us take this much. So understand capacity, understand people, and try and understand things in perspective. You won't have problems. So when you pull it out of perspective, then you're going to have a problem, definitely. Because you didn't understand it properly, didn't see it in perspective. I've got a fight with this person, got a fight with that person, got a problem with this person, suspicion against that. But is there a problem? I know we're in Dioban, you know. So initially I should eat from the mess, common mess. So you have to queue up and take your food. So now, each person presents his token or something, and you collect your food, and then you'll have another token for the evening meal, for the afternoon meal. So now, he's asking for his meal. So the one that he's serving, so he says, you know, where's your token? So now I gave it to you. So now I didn't receive your token. This person made a big noise. Yeah, you know, because we are foreigners, therefore you're taking advantage of us. Shouted him. He took a few steps. He went and checked in his pocket, the token was in his pocket. See that. So we don't check within ourselves. We're going to just label that person. But the problem is within us. So this, clearing things, make our minds understand, see things in perspective. You know, take your time, but understand things. You won't have problems. So one is the eating of halal. I just spoke about it. Imam Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he's talking to the person according to his language. Alright, this is your business. And how does it work? This is not, this belongs to a cartel of loose women. Oh, no, I have to hear this cartel of loose women. So he just made an excuse very quickly. I just need to go and make pisa. You know. Jumped off. Now, the driver said, alright, jump on again. So now, I just made pisap now. So I'm just making istibra, some drops and all may come out. So, that they'll clear up. Anyway, he walked for some distance, 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers. So the driver said, sit on. So he said, no, you know, I sat for some time. My legs are a little bit tight, so I'm just loosening up. Now the driver caught on because I told him that this is a cartel of loose women. This man is not going to sit here again. He's not going to sit. Obviously, he wants to say, no, no. We'll carry on, we'll continue. This person is telling him, you know what, I know you're not going to jump on, so pay me for whatever distance I've covered, and I'll return very happily. No, 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 you'll come the full way. Full way, whatever the fee that was due, again the full fee. And norm, the norm is that you give the fee and you give a fodder also for the animal. See, the animal that is driving, that is taking you on, so you give that amount of fodder as well. You give a little more than the fee, more than the fodder, and then allow him, see, to return. So Almar Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi quotes a poetry at the end. He says, Bardast, in one hand you got the law of the Sharia, right? And on the other hand you have got the law of Tasawwuf, law of Sharia, that you can't be doing business with this class of people, right? And the law of Tasawwuf, don't hurt anybody. Whatever he's doing, but you don't have the business, you don't have the right to hurt him, don't hurt his feelings. Sandame Ishq, one, you got the goblet of Ishq and Muhabbat and Tasawwuf, and then you got the balance of the Sharia. Then he says, every person doesn't have the capacity to balance the both. You'll do one thing and leave out the other. And you'll do this thing here and you'll leave out this one here. But to be able to balance the both, to see that the Sharia perspective is respected without hurting the person, that is not the work of everybody. And we talk of the Tasawwuf, is it supported by the Hadith also? So, remember what our Buzurgan al-Din did, it supported, right? But you'll have to do a little bit of brain racking to get that. And the resource is sitting for Etikaf, so his tent is constructed, he will be sitting down for Etikaf. In the meanwhile, Aisha radiallahu anha, she also requests permission, she got the permission, Safsal got the permission. In the meanwhile, Zainab came in to that Etikaf now. So, Hazrat Nabi Sam's cubicle, Aisha, Hafsa, and Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. Now, Nabi Sallallahu sees this whole spectacle and says, Al birra turidna is the intention righteousness or a little bit of a rivalry. Women have it now. This one is overtaking, I must be neck to neck. See. I must be neck to neck with this one. So women have this thing, it's their weakness, right? So is it righteousness, is it virtue that they are intending, or is it some type of a rivalry? What are they intending? I said, well, I remove all the tents and remove my tent as well. 3 cubicles as well as my cubicle, remove it. Now when you look at this hadith from a different perspective, the wrong was not with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? You could have said, right, remove these cubicles and just retain mine. Right? You could have said that. So what was the reason for him to ask all the tents, all the cubicles to be removed? Just to lessen the pain and the grief of the family and the household. See? So on the one side, you need to respect the parameters of the Sharia. On the other end, you have to respect the person's feeling. Now, can you balance the both? See, Mu'ala is taking him right through. He's paying for all that. Right? giving him the fodder more than what is required, and then he asks him for a carry on. So to balance the both, the sawuf and shariat, is not the work of everybody. And that is why we don't just raise objections against our seniors. When they do something, they've got some reasoning in their minds, doesn't appear to you, it doesn't mean doesn't appear to you, so therefore it's wrong. Are you the gauge? Sometimes it happens now, you're sitting with ulama all the time, so it becomes a little bit daring. One person came, looks like a little bit of a wealthy person, so he came to Thana Bhavan, and he made an offering to the Muathani Sahib Rahmatullahi. Mullah had a procedure, you know. You don't just give a gift straight away in the first meeting. Because I don't know you, you don't know me. Right? Create some familiarity, some type of an understanding. So when there's a familiarity, there's an understanding, and there is some level of muhabbat and munasabat, compatibility. Now you make a gift, so it will be taken well. So it will enhance the muhabbat. But if you just came in the first meeting and you're giving something, so you will be a little bit indifferent towards it. I know the person, I'm just giving a gift. I don't know him, he doesn't know me, and he just want to make an offering. So Mawad didn't want to accept it. The person that was accompanying him, Mawad, please take it. Because this person, when he hears the names of Abu Zuhayr, he just breaks into a tear. Sometimes he just falls unconscious, you know. So just accept it, so that his emotions will be just respected with it. Anyway, a person persuaded, one said, I'm not going to take it, he'll fall unconscious, something will happen just now. Let me just take it, this is less of the both. He accepted it. The next morning, up to now he says, no, not even talking, he can't even talk, he doesn't have the heart to talk before you, he's so silent, you know, so respectful. Now by the next morning, he's asking maslahs, why this, why not that, and I haven't found this here. I said, alright, you know that gift, just take it back. Now you can say whatever you want to say. For the duration that he was there, silent. See, he wasn't speaking at the time, that money was speaking. He thought, now I'll give something, and then I'll open the communication, and then I can speak freely and I can discuss. Mawad had a procedure and he knows why he's got this procedure. And people are playing tricks, he understands that as well. What trick this person is playing. He understands that as well. And you came here for your Islah, for your reformation, do that. And he would tell them, but you want to know maslas? There are great madrasas that are doing this all the time. 24/7 they're doing it. Saharanpur, they're doing it. Darul Uloom Deoband, they're doing it. Refer to them, khalas. Are you going to mix issues, talk about the tasawuf, talk about maslas, crossing swords, then you won't get this right, you won't get that right. There is a body that is doing this, refer to them and you'll get your maslas sorted out. But now you're going to mix things. So you won't get this right and you won't get that right. And some senior alim, not taking his name now, later on he elevated, right? So initially his relationship will ask his masla and that masla. Well, in his consideration, he would show him the masla. After some time, Mu'ad told him, see, you're not going to benefit in this way. You're not going to benefit in this way. You just come for your isla, that is all. Maslas and all, don't refer it here. Man felt a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, why am I being stopped? But he says, after that I noticed, there was a glow in my heart. The darkness was expelled. Before this, there was some level of darkness, some level of resistance. But the moment I just concentrate on this, that resistance and the darkness just got expelled, I'm moving straight. So these people that do this type of work, they know why they're doing it. They give this type of instruction, they know why they're giving that instruction. And our luck and fortune is, listen to them. For the level that we are, I just passed this one line, that just love them, don't try to understand them. Right? It'll be easier for you. Just love them, Don't try now, hey, why did he say this? Why not like this? That will take some zamana before you get to understand. For now, just love them. And the love will open up a lot of doors, a lot of passages will open out, a lot of things you'll begin to see in perspective. But if you're going to try to understand them, and you don't have that level of love, then every move, every step will be like a ton, moving a ton. You know? See? So this element of love, this is what we need to add into the whole equation for this whole wagon to move very smoothly, very gracefully. Just that element of love needs to be added. Otherwise, at the end he would say, repeatedly he would say, "Main to mohabbat ka pyaasa hoon." Say this word repeatedly, "Main to mohabbat ka pyaasa hoon." I am thirsty for love. Now, people didn't understand what he was talking at that time. Very small statements, but this is a statement, "I'm thirsty for love." And you are doing everything else, reading this one here, this thing here, listening to that one. But then there's no love. So for everything that you're doing, you need to push yourself. And once you've got love into the equation, then that thing is moving on its own. See? So you see, one way to get this love is to understand the virtue. Well, this is the virtue for this work here. Let me do it and I'll get the reward. Now you left the house, right? And making niyat every step. Then you're making niyat, several niyats you can make. In our context, so many niyats you can make. Right? I'm leaving the home, proceeding towards the masjid. I will apply some ether so that there's a good ambience around me. So I don't have any foul smell, no sweaty smell, especially in this heat. Everything is perspiring. I got some nice ether. But the ether that is pleasant to people also. Not the ether that is used exclusively for the Kabristan. Something that is where people like it, enjoy it. Use that type of ether. Then you're coming, you're not racing to the masjid. Coming gently, right? You're understanding now that hadith take for every step. So I'm going to race, I'm going to take big steps, then my sawabs will be decreased, not increased. Then taking small steps, gentle steps, trying to understand whose house I'm going to. See, for every niyyah that you're making, and your niyyah, your sawab is just escalating, right? Then on the road, if I meet a Muslim, then I'll show him a smile, and I'll make salam. So for the smile, you're getting a salam. For the salam, you're getting a salam. If he's near me, and he wants to make salam, he wants to shake hands, I will shake hands as well. But after shaking hands, you don't force yourself. Right? Example, the person is occupied. You have a kitab in his hand. Assalamu alaikum. Now what must he do? Hold his kitab, or extend his hand? Try and understand, now his hand is occupied. So some other occasion, when it's appropriate, then I will also make musafa. But I will force yourself to do these things here. So there's a third thing. The fourth thing is, if I find any poor person on the road, I will try to be respectful to him. I will not insult the person, I will not abuse him. I don't know, ghar ka hal, I don't know. What's really the state at home, I don't know. But my duty is to be kind. Unless the person is a professional beggar, he's doing this as a profession, that's a different thing. Otherwise, my work is to help the person. If I don't have anything, at least I'll give him one, two words of dua. So whether I give him something material, or I give him some dua, both ways I'm going to gain. Our Qari Tayyib Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, around 1976, there was that Nasbandi, family planning, it was being forced. So there was a lot of resistance, and Qari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had a very senior position, so the government also used to interview, come ask him for suggestions, all that. In conferences, as it's called. So these ulama of the past, they looked more for the broader interests of the Muslims. That's how they looked at it. But I don't want to say something where I will jeopardize or I will compromise any of their advantages. So sometimes they have to be very careful. But when they are being very cautious, what happens, someone can misconstrue what they're saying. My intention is right, intention is to be cautious so that I don't hurt any person, he's got an advantage, something is working out for him, and I'm going to say something, the benefits that he's enjoying may just be lost. But in the meanwhile, someone that doesn't understand, what he'll do, he'll misconstrue it. So anyway, some students, they got together. Dioban got a very big population of students. 4,000 or 5,000 students he got there. Like a small, like a big town, you know. And all grown up, all elderly people, not small children, but all coming from different backgrounds. So when they heard about this, they made a drama. See, our work, remember, our work is to rectify and improve. Leave people and they're fighting. He's fighting, he's disputing, he's doing this. The better thing is not to look at the fight, but the better thing is try and correct them, improve the relationship, bring them together. That's the work of a Muslim. But now I'm going to complain about him. This chacha is doing this. This chacha is doing this. And this one is like that, right? So is my heart going to be blocked for him or not? My heart is obstructed. Now I don't have the clarity. That is because you complained about this person. When you complain about that person, I had a clear relationship. But now that you brought about a complaint, now is my heart open to the person? So the heart gets blocked. We are human beings. We cannot rule it off that we are not human beings. We cannot rule it off that we don't feel affected. So the easier thing is, alright, whatever the nature of the problem, let me see how I can bond. I'm going to talk about the problem, I will just magnify the problem. But if I try and bring about a solution, small adjustment here, small adjustment here, and I can bring things together. Right? Al-Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, these people are the mujaddis of the zamana, right? And I say, learn to love them, don't learn to understand them too much. You'll understand them after years. Really, you'll understand them after years. So two things that he speaks about. One thing he speaks about, you want to bring about love, right? And you try this approach, that approach, and whatever the approach, right? We will not say that the approach that you are using is wrong. What he says is that the real approach to bring about love, the real approach to bring about love is to create the awareness of deen. The more conscious you become about deen, about Allah Ta'ala, about his Nabi, about the duties and obligations of a Muslim, his consciousness is aware. As the awareness and the consciousness of deen will increase, the muhabbat will be automatic. Otherwise you'll do this and you'll do something else, and you may think that I'm bringing about muhabbat. It won't happen. But the moment the awareness of Allah Ta'ala comes, say, I'm doing wrong now. You know, I'm not talking to this person here. I'm showing a very bad face to this person here. I speak ill about this person here. Allah Ta'ala knows about it. It's not the right thing. If I'm going to talk like this, Allah Ta'ala may just throw me out. I won't have any place before Allah Ta'ala. So the right way is to bring about a consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, at any given time, what Allah Pak wants of me, what will please Allah Ta'ala. And also to then promote this. One is to bring it within yourself, and then to promote the same fikr, the same concern, the same type of awareness, right? And you do this, you'll find love, and love just being promoted, right? So I don't look at the background, I look at the person, I just look how to promote love. Now, I just look at a simple incident that's happened around this Christmas time, right? One party is going on, and it happens in UK, right? In the party now, the people are drunk, and they're drunk, piss drunk. So they drunk badly, very badly, right? So one girl here, she's drunk, she's performing, and she's really serious, really off her brains. So her friends all saw that this one has overdid it, just pushed her into a taxi, paid the fee, and asked the taxi to go and drop her at her house. And because she's overdrunk, so she's spewing, she's vomiting all over the place. So the taxi driver, he got upset with this girl. He dropped her in the middle of the road. He goes, "I don't want to take you." Now imagine now, on that side of the world, United, England, all that, now it's midwinter approximately, right? And she's just thrown off the street. You find your own way. Now, one Muslim Pakistani couple is going across. So they saw this woman lying on the street there. So they took her into the car. Though she's missing, right? They took her into the car. The woman took her into the bath, cleaned her up, washed her nicely, gave her a new pair of clothing to wear, right? And then now they're thinking, all right, this is not our girl. We got her in our custody. The right thing is to look for her parents. How do we make her sober that we can talk to her? So some suggestion came up, give her some coffee. So as they gave her that coffee, she became a little bit sober. And she became sober. Now they began to ask, all right, where you come from? So she gave her father's particular. Father was there. Now, father became a little bit curious, right? So he got to know that they are Muslims. He got curious. The story came up that this girl lost her mother in infancy. The father was a single person, single parent. He took care of the girl, right? Then he says, when he came the second day, he took his daughter. He came the second day to give some gifts. In the meanwhile, this couple here, they washed her clothing, all the dirty clothing, filthy clothing, ironed it, pressed it. England must remember, you're doing your work with your own hands. No more quality business there, right? So, they washed the clothing, they got prepared, iron, pressed, and all that. And as his father came in, they offered the clothing. Now this man, he identifies himself. You know who I am? This is my name. Look at my name in the Facebook. Amongst the most notorious people against Islam. I wrote this article here, this article, that article. But now that little bit of kindness that you all showed and displayed, that shook me up right to the roots, you know. I have to revisit this whole Islam. And last night I deleted all the messages that I had written against Islam. Everything I had written. Now I am studying Islam now. What is this all about? I had a different impression. Now this one act of kindness really just shook me up. So you see this consciousness. These people had their consciousness that as a human being, and she's just thrown out here. She may just die in the cold. And as a human, whatever she is now, we don't need to know why she drank and whatever else, right? But yes, to save a soul, to bring that soul into righteousness, to bring it towards Islam, to bring it towards righteousness, that's our duty. Now, how do we fix it up? Unfortunately, she is thinking that couple, that are not even mullahs, they could think right, alright? This is a given situation, this woman, she messed it up. Now, how do we rectify, how do we improve? And on that end, when they did something, this man's whole outlook towards Islam changed. Where he's against Islam, writing articles, instigating people against Islam, and his whole approach. But you see, one is the knowledge of Islam, and one is the application of Islam. Two different things. What we think is, no, we got the knowledge, we give the bayan, finish. Whether we apply it or we don't apply it is a different thing. Mawlana Ayub Surti, Dawud Barakatim was here. Brother Sheikh Yunus Mahmoud is very, very good student. So, he was called to attend a conference in Turkey. They call it the Kabul Isnad or something. Where you got hadiths reported from a certain chain of narrators, and you give me your chain of narrators, and I offer you my chain that I have learned hadith. So you have learned from a certain chain, right until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have learned from a certain chain, I will offer you my chain, and you will offer me your chain. So, Mawlana first was reluctant to attend the conference. He said, because if you have television and videos and whatever else you have, and I'm not in agreement, so they said, no, Mawlana, be assured, for your session, we'll just shut this whole thing down, and you come, please. I went up. So I did whatever I needed to do. But then in the whole conference I asked them, you know, you've got so capable people, so competent people, you've got the language, you've got the mind, the laws you'll know, how to apply it, experts you'll have. What was the need for you to call a person like me? You understand? You've got everything, you've got the language, all experts in the science, you'll know what you're talking about, But what was the need for you to call a person like me? He said, no, we called you. Why? See, we have just got one dimension of the hadith. The dimension of the hadith that we have acquired is just the academic, without the application. So hence you see, someone is coming with a suit and a tie, someone is coming with a designer beard, someone is coming in one shape and the other shape. All experts. But they don't have the application in them. The amal is not there. And what we see in you Indian people is you learn the hadith, the science, and you're applying the amal on it. So we wanted to get this to the level of perfection, therefore we refer to you. Now this aspect that they respected us for now that is being thrown out of the window. That we need to know the science, get the academic right, whether we applied or we didn't apply it, that's a secondary thing. That's how we're looking at the science. But now see these people, the experts, they're sitting in Turkey, all around the Muslim world, they've got all people coming at the conference. What they thirsty for? So not the word, the application. Apply that. What lessons are in the hadith, what teaching of the Quran Sharif, when apply the thing, you're going to see Islam real, you're going to see it live. You don't want to just see it in the books. See, their best sandam is shariat. On the one hand, I got the goblet of deen. And on the other hand, I have got the scale of shariat. And every person is not in the position to balance the both. Doing one thing and leaving the other thing out. Doing one thing and leaving the other thing out. Now to balance the both, as I say, the easy, simple word that I'm using today by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, learn to love this mashayikh. Don't take the trouble to understand them. Yes, the message they're giving you, try to understand the message. But as the person, say, no, why he did this, that means you want him to come at the intellectual level of yourself. And it's possible that your intellectual level may not be the right intellectual level. Your understanding may not be taking you right. But you want him to come on that level for you to take him and for you to find conformity. May not be there. Now this thing is so clearly spelled out in the hadith. Right. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes into Madina Munawwara and they practicing crop pollination, right? Tabir. So they take something of the male date and they cross it with the female. So if they do this, then they get a better crop, you see. How will they do it? Allah knows how they do it. So when Nabi Sam came in, perhaps he felt that this is something to do with superstition. Right? That they're mixing this with this thing here and they expect to get a better crop. So this is something to do with superstition. So he asked them to leave it out. Right. You see, they learned first to love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also to understand him, but more to love him. So they didn't look at the dynamics, we're gonna leave this out, then the whole year's business is going to get affected. You know, the business that we run, investments that we got, and our houses that need to be run. So what's going to happen for the whole year? This is one crop that we have, and the crop needs to last us for the entire year. This is going to be affected. What's going to be happening? So they learn primarily to love Rasulullah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala made Iman endeared to you. But something is dear to you, then you can't leave it out. I was explaining the final year hadith students, that whole story of Najash, of Hirakal, right? And he's asking Abu Sufyan, that do you find anybody turning apostate, returning, getting away from the deen? I said, so no, we haven't found that. So Hercules says, كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا تُخَالِطُهُ بَشَاشَتُهُ إِذَا تُخَالِطُهُ الْبَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ. When the bashashat and the sweetness of iman, translating in my own words, the sweetness touches the heart. When the sweetness touches the heart, then you can't leave. So the one that left, or that jumped off the course, he left because he hasn't yet acquired the taste. Now I have to explain to the students what is meant by acquiring the taste. See, once you got the taste, then you won't leave. Same in tasawwuf, once you reach a certain maqam, right, fana, right, for ihsan. So then you won't leave it. But as long as you're not at the level of ihsan, then there can be inconsistency, fluctuations, etc. But as you hit that level of ihsan, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, then you don't go off. So now to explain the same concept to the level of the students, I said, see, when you were born, right, you were being fed with milk. Wasn't it the feed, right? And so slowly they began to introduce solids. Then the solids became such an important part of your lifestyle now, that I ask anybody that is sitting here, right, that in the solids there'll be sweet and there'll be spice. Spice means spice and salt, right? Can anybody, any one of us that's sitting here, say that he can leave out spice and sugar for one single day? Spice including salt and sugar, any single day, can you do it? Anything sweet, means khajur, everything else, can leave in one day. Right? When that sweetness and the spice touches the heart, then you can't leave it. But before you could encounter it, you could do without it. A small child, you could do without it. But it touches the heart now, hey, well, that one I can't, don't interfere with it, please. What do you tell you that? What do you tell you, say, leave all this thing? I can't leave it. How can I leave it? And Braun, I came up with this thing here, and you're asking me to leave it. So this level of ihsan, that consciousness, that awareness of Allah, this is what is supposed to be acquired here. Right? Consciousness, that awareness of Allah, Allah Pak is watching. Then you're online. What are you thinking of the second thing, and the third thing, and the fourth thing, other things, your mind is going. You don't have that love still. When you capture the love, that everything, gari khud ba khud chal paregi, this thing will move on its own. But what's needed is to get the ihsan. And this is what you come to the mashayikh for, to get this type of consciousness, this awareness. Allah Pak is watching. Everything is being recorded, right? See in this ayat, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَان. Al-Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, through the Tarqib and Nahwi, the grammatical laws he shows, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ refers to the person who's got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala all the time. What? He understands that he has to stand before Allah Ta'ala. At the time of judgment, he has to stand before Allah Ta'ala. But this is not just a thought that is flashing in his mind occasionally, now and then. It's there like a permanent feature. Allah Pak is watching. And it's not a difficult thing. I said, deen is easy, right? Not a difficult thing. If you had cameras in this place here, right through, at strategic points, can you make basti? You got a camera, and you also got a device that will record all the sound. Will you say anything out of place? Will you do anything out of place? You're conscious, you come to terms with it, but you know the camera is there, and the tape is there, this thing is taping everything, this thing is recording everything. I can't make any basti here. So the musti is until you don't have the consciousness that Allah's malaika are recording, everything is being recorded. And this is what you come here for. Get that consciousness right. Get that awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak is watching. And especially now, we are 3-4 months before Ramadan, you know. So what a beautiful Ramadan it would be, may Allah make it that, that we work towards it, and some, it just struck a little bit. We just struck there. Can't it happen? You worked for it, right? Ramadan came, you already there. So you got something of it. Maybe you didn't get the full, but you got a flicker already. So you got the start. And then Ramadan came, and you just worked on it, and it became stronger and stronger and stronger. What a blessing. See the ihsan. See, we all want that our works must be accepted. In Bukhari Sharif, they got one statement of the Sahaba Kiram under the Kitabul Jihad, right? إِنَّمَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. You see, you strive, you fight in the path of Allah Ta'ala, you strive and work on the basis of your actions. What? In other words, your striving, your works get fruition, get acceptance in proportion to your amal. What? قَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. So your niyat is right, your action is right, the level and the quality of your action is improving all the time, then your striving, your fighting, your working, your struggle for deen is also improving. See that, تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. So if you want that acceptance, you want it to flourish, you want it to move, that this is the line that the Sahabi Kiram had taken, I need to get my amal right. So I was explaining what Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah says, but you want that unity in the Muslims, then it's to create an awareness of Allah Ta'ala, of deen. The more you create it within yourself, within the people, they become aware, and khud bakhud, automatically people's hearts are joined. But I will try this thing and that thing, and I think what I'm doing is right, you think what you're doing is right. I ask you, will any of us reach the right? Because I'm thinking what I'm doing is right, you think what you're doing is right. None of us will get it right. But we have this motto, وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. See, what it requires, وَعْتَسِمُوا, hold on. And this holding on will guard you against tafarruq, against divisions. You hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala all together, right? You hold on. And this will stop you from divisions. So that is now like the glue, the bonding element, right? You know, to get bricks right together, right? You need cement. Cement is the bond. Right? You get one brick bonded to the other brick if you got cement. But if you know, try and join one brick to the other brick with a cotton thread, what will happen? It won't happen. Cloth to cloth, then you need a cotton thread, one to be joined to the other, right? Doesn't it happen? Paper to paper, then you need glue, right? Right. So now, what is that adhesive that will join the heart? The thing that will join the heart is وَعْتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفْرَقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah, to deen. Hold on to deen, each one will feel, no, I need to do it. I need to make some figure of my deen. He thinks he should make figure of deen, right? To get the deen right in ourselves, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala. And automatically, this muhabbat will just grow. From strength to strength, will be muhabbat. See this Pakistani couple, what they did. And in a moment, this man who has been working against Islam for years, and this act of kindness, this work of Islam, work of Nabi Sallam, just changed the person's whole outlook. There was no bayan, there was no kitab. No, I don't, right? Don't get me wrong now. Some say, no, you mustn't write kitab, you mustn't give bayan. So that is extremism, right? If you do that also, but equally important is the action, the deed that we are doing. The focus on the action is not like it's supposed to be. Yes, the focus on the bayan is there. You have bayan here, give a bayan that side, have a kitab here, have a kitab that side, that is there. But the focus on elevating, uplifting the quality of the amal, to bring it to the level, I'm conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any given time. Is it there? So anyway, you're talking of niyat, right? Now, we spoke about Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi. And Qari Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, you know, this whole commotion is going on in Deoband, such a big place now, right? He said, but the moment I step out of home, proceeding towards the madrasa, then I check my heart very well. That do I have any malice in my heart for any student? Now, Qari Sahib Rahmatullah is a senior buzurg, you know, at the level of the Shaykh Rahmatullah, that level he is. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, or the Shaykh, they are at one level, right? Such a senior person, and students will be obviously like beginning, like you know, small little children, right? But now, at that level also, he's so considerate of these young children, students, who are 20 years of age, now he's advanced at that level. Like a rocket scientist, and here people still learning to write ABC. You know, if you do the comparison, he's at that level, and these people are at this level here. But for them as well, he says, I will inspect my heart every day as I leave the home to the madrasa. Do I have any malice, any hurt, any ill feelings towards anybody? Do I have any reservation? And I will check my heart is absolutely clean. Then I walk into the madrasa. Now, why won't this person's work be accepted? That's why Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, look at his work, right? Muhammad Ali Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was not an ordinary person, like people make him to be, right? Think of Islam, Mufakkir Islam. They didn't just give him the awarding for that. But he did something fabulous, something outstanding, right? He's going to the Arab world, the Arab countries, the head of the countries want to host him, right? A 5-star hotel, all provisions that are made, right? But he'll have one line, but just give him a small place near Masjid, let me be there. Small room perhaps adjoined to a Masjid, let me be there. So an Arab sheikh, I think his name was Tahir Hussein, he's also a big writer in his age, said, do you know why Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi preferred to be in a quarter of the Masjid than being hosted in a 5-star hotel with all the khidmat and all the lavish arrangements? So he says the reason for that was, this da'wat requires, now see his words, it requires a lot of purity of the heart. I'm wondering now why does it need the purity of the heart? Because to the level of the purity, the contents will be not diluted and not contaminated. See, it's coming from Allah Ta'ala. Heart is all spoiled. And then you're giving a spoiled stuff to the audience. Then that what you could convey is also going to be spoiled, diluted or contaminated and polluted. They're not going to be affected. So, others say, no, leave me at the corner of a masjid. I'll be resting there. Whatever food I require, that's enough for me. But he's doing that to maintain a very high level of the purity of the heart. Heart is very clean. So what he's getting is also clean. What he's passing on is very clean. So when I had to give a bayan, somewhere in Makkah, Mukarramah, all students, all of pilgrim, every Arab was in tears. Now, how did it happen? And in his bayan he's saying, you know, Al-Qawmu Al-Qaw ilaykum Akbada qulubihim وَأَنْتُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Hey, the Arabs that were sitting there just broke out. These people have given you their hearts, you know, that means referring to the children. Our people have offered you, ulama is referring to the ulama in Egypt, that people have offered you their children, the cherry of their hearts, they have given it to you. And remember, you will be answerable to Allah Ta'ala about them. Did you attend to them correctly or not? The Arabs that were sitting there in Egypt, in Cairo, Azhar University, everybody cried out, professors, anybody, everybody. Now, what touched the heart? This clarity of the heart. The heart was absolutely clean. What is receiving is clean. What is passing on is clean. So, as we come into the masjid with that clarity of the heart, see. Qari Sahib is doing that for the madrasa, absolutely clear. I don't want to have any ballast, any type of ill feelings, any type of hurt, so I can, my delivery is right. So the same principle can be applied for a masjid, for a madrasa, for a dini gathering, but have I got the clarity of the heart? As you would see we're talking of people in the da'wah, right? See, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he's spending 10 days, 15 days with the jamaat, going to Mirwat, all that. Are you talking of Mu'ay Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi? And Mu'ay passed away around 1943, right? How many years ago? Approximately 80 years ago, right? Passed away. So 80 years ago, the fitnas were far less. And then in India, far less of the whole world. You know, how the world is moving. India was far, far behind, right? From 80 years ago. But then to Mu'ay would say, or Mu'ay Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah would say, moving amongst the public and all that, then the clarity, the beauty and the cleanliness of the heart would definitely be affected. See? Now the heart is the receiving point. See, we're approaching Ramadan. See? From now you try and work, who knows, by Ramadan, at least we get some flicker of ihsan. Some that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that I have to stand before Him, I have to give a proper account before Him. You can't escape that. Wali man khafa maqama rabbi. I just explained, right? Mr. Muhammad Shafi Sahib is saying, because of the nahu that's involved, he says, not just a moment, it's a feature, constant feature. Wali man khafa maqama rabbi jannatan. Feehima min kulli faqihatin zawjan, right? Now look at this, right? So there's different explanations that are given. Min kulli faqihatin zawjan. Of every kind of fruit, there'll be two types. What every kind of fruit, there'll be twos. So the one type will be like normal, and the other one will be absolutely unique in its taste and in its features, in its texture. Really, to appreciate Jannat, you have to be in Jannat. Like, you know, you see a mango season, to appreciate the mango, you have to taste it. I can describe to you the mango from now till the day of Qiyamah, but you didn't eat the thing, you will not know what is the texture and the enjoyment. So to appreciate Jannat, will have to be in Jannat. Right? By Padya, sometimes it is the fruit season also. So in a little bit of a light heart, you say, by cow, eat. Yahan par khane ko nahi seekhenge, to Jannat mein kaise khaoge? No one learn to eat here. How you enjoy it? Everybody is saying, eat this. That's what he's saying, I suppose. Eat this, but have Jannat before you. That I'll enjoy this, and I'll listen to Allah Ta'ala, and how much more will I get? So he's taking you to the road, so the whole motion is taking you with love. Eat it, enjoy it, and that my Allah Ta'ala is so loving, that he's fed me with this thing here, right? And if I appreciate the love, he'll give me something. Min kulli faqiyatin zawjan. One is the normal fruit, and one is the fruit that is absolutely unique out of the world. So we talk about Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he's going 10 days, 15 days for this Jamaat, that whatever. And after his return, he said that the clarity, the purity of the heart is definitely affected. Now how must I regain the clarity? Because, see, Murana is like the root of the work. He's the essence of the work. When he's the essence of the work, obviously everybody depend on Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must send down the right type of signal for you to be able to pass it. But if the clarity of the heart is going to be affected, then the signal Allah Ta'ala will send, but the heart is not right, so it's going to be contaminated, it's going to be something that's going to affect that message. I'm not going to give the right message across. So for me to be able to give the right message across, I need to go into seclusion, spend some time, 10 days, 15 days, whatever. I got the clarity of the heart, all what have I seen, I spoken, met people, etc., that affected the heart, all that is washed out, flushed out of the system. What I'm giving is pure, clean, came pure, and is being passed on pure. So won't it touch the heart? It definitely touched the heart, came out of the heart, it must touch the heart. So you see the consciousness, the awareness that they had about the clarity of the heart. Now we're talking about coming to the masjid and the niyat that you can have, right? So many niyats you can have, and لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَعْنَوَى, everything that you intended for, everything that you intended, you will receive that. You came in clean, came in taking small steps, you came in with this frame of mind, you'll make salam, you'll show a good face, right? If it is easy, that person, you're not hurting the person, and then it's the right occasion, you are shaking hands with him. So many occasions of sawab you got. You just made the niyat, and already your, as though your car or your vehicle of sawab is just getting loaded all the time. Truck is just getting loaded and loaded and loaded all the time. But it's just that adjustment of the niyat, small little thing, and how much you have received. Right? Then you came in, said, no, I'm not going to have any malice in my heart for any person. I'm not going to have any dirt. If I see a wrong, what I will do, I will think wrong, I'll think bad about the wrong, I'll make dua for the person. That's the first I can do. If I don't have a clear passage, a clear line of communication with the person, I'll make dua for him. Allah forgive me and forgive him as well. Allah guides me and guides him as well. But my heart, I'm not going to allow it to contaminate. But if you're going to do this every namaz, from the time you stepped out of from the home, right to reach the heart, right to you reach the house of Allah Ta'ala, won't there be a difference to the heart? From now to Ramadan, every namaz you're leaving the house, coming to the house of Allah Ta'ala, and you say, you know, in this interim, you know, I need to do this thing here. Right? But how much you polish the heart, how much you cleanse the heart, right? Then you're talking to yourself, you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to the house of Allah Ta'ala, then I need to be thankful that Allah Ta'ala has allowed me, Allah Ta'ala has hosted me to his house. So as an appreciation, let me read some Durood Sharif, let me read some La Ilaha Illallah, a little bit in an audible way, so that my ears are also listening to what I'm reading, right? The surrounding also is being perfumed with zikr. I'm enjoying the zikr, and the surrounding is being perfumed. And if our little children are accompanying us, they also know why we go to the house of Allah Ta'ala. We need to make a little bit of zikr and fikr as we reach into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Now all my niyats are all escalating. Then I've got a niyat as well, that if, for example, there's going to be some kitab reading or something of that nature, I will sit for it. If I can't sit for all the 20 minutes or the 10 minutes, I'll sit for how long I can. Right? The day I'm more available, I'll sit longer. I can't, I'll sit shorter, but I will listen. I'll take one message home, right? And you see how much of sawab and how much of reward and what it's going to be doing to your heart, right? In the meanwhile, if it's a person that's not looking after his heart, right? And he's left his house, yeah, this person, I don't know, is a kebab. Why? He's begging that. So anyhow, he's always in fights, right? And this person, yeah, he did me down, you know. So I got malice, I got reservations, I got a little bit of hate and a dislike. So what happens to me? I got a dislike for the person, I got a hatred for the person, I'm harboring malice for the person, not talking to the person rightly. So in the meanwhile, Allah Pak is announcing forgiveness for everybody, all my bandas, I'm forgiving you. Twice a week, so you got the forgiveness. But Allah Pak is saying to Malaika, these two people, this person here who's harboring malice, not talking, not showing a right face, leave him aside. Everybody else, maaf. Everybody else is maaf, but this person here and that person, just leave them out of the equation, right? I ask you, can there be anything more foolish than that? Anything more stupid? Rabbi Shambhai, I'll make this available to all of you all. But just keep a good heart. See that your heart is not contaminated. For any person or anything, but your heart is not contaminated, but I need to have this heart. Because the heart is going to be receiving from Allah Ta'ala, and that's what's going to be passed on. So for any person at any time, I can't spoil this heart here. Why was I spoil it? See, I'm doing attar business, right? I'm getting oud. Right? Oud now, small thing like this, if it's pure, it can be costing about 2-3,000 rand, small thing like this. But if that attar bottle, right, if it's already spoiled with something else, right, and now you filled in the oud into it, pure, the 3,000 rand oud, small little bottle, and the attar bottle got spoiled with something else, I'll ask you now, will that attar give the same fragrance? Huh? Haven't you lost what you have got? What you have got, 3-4,000 rand, now perhaps you won't even get 50 rand for it. Why? The attar has lost its essence. Why it's lost its essence? You have something that was not right. It was not right, so that ether, that oud, lost its essence. When it lost its essence, now you lost the value. The same now with our actions. Such an easy exercise. We're leaving the house, polishing the heart, making istighfar, some zikr, talking to our sati or the children that we're walking with. With this frame of mind, by time we have come to the masjid, how much we have scored. We return, inshallah, with such a good frame of mind. All is required. As-salatu ala athari salatin la lahun fihima kitabun fil illiyin. Right? Two namaz, one namaz, it's all namaz, then the asar, then maghrib. In between, you didn't do anything that was not right. Anything nonsensical, not right, sinful, right? Love, right? You didn't do anything like that. So that allows your name to be written in the group of the higher ranking people, fil illiyin, right? Just this amal here, you read one namaz, and emotionally, mentally as well, physically and verbally, you're not allowing yourself to engage in anything that is wrong, useless, incorrect, impermissible. You're not allowing yourself. Right? Now, that elevates you. But now, you won't swear someone, shout at someone, make ghibat of someone. You deprived yourself from that class. You had the ticket to be in that class, right? You had the ticket to be in the first class. Now you got into the economy class. I say, is it worth it? You could have gone into that first class with all that service and all that respect and all that. And for the small misdemeanor that you did now, they pull you out with disgrace and they bring you to the economy class. as his rivati. So this little preparation as we come into the masjid, what are we supposed to be doing, right? Then as we come to the masjid, right, then there's two things that we're supposed to be taking care of as well. One is, it's the house of Allah Ta'ala, show all the respect. In the masjid, in the precincts of the masjid. Not only in the masjid, but the precincts of the masjid. We talk a little bit loudly, obviously the sound is on the filter. Someone is engaged in zikr, tilawat, namaz, you're going to disturb you. So instead of gaining, you're going to lose again. Why you disturb the person? Again, you're coming in with clothing that is flowing and loose. What? Flowing and loose clothing. Not tight and body hugging. Right? So all this is just escalating you, just bringing you up. Now I was mentioning this to someone. So he said, but wow, it's all backdated things, man. Talk of something contemporary times. What? Contemporary times. Talk of rocket and they talk of reading namaz on the moon and all that, talking of all these type of things. Talk of these type of things, all backward things you are talking about. So I explained to him, see, the hadith says, Bada al Islamu ghariban. Islam started off like an alien thing. Wasn't known, not popular thing. Not a normal thing. Right? And will return like an alien thing. But what a glad tiding, there'll be some sounds for those people that keep to that alien, that original. For Tuba is what about? Nabi himself is complimenting those people that held on to that old style, you know, that alien style, which is outdated. So imagine if you die, and with your death, Nabi says, Tuba. I say it's better than trillions and trillions of lives, trillions of worlds, of universe. We have to just tell you, Tuba.